So I have this word for someone here today. Somebody here just needs to lighten up. No, I mean, I understand that comes across funny, but there's someone here, you're too hard on yourself, and then you're too hard on others. And you need to lighten up. You need to take a big chill pill, okay? And stop putting so much pressure on yourself. Amen. Are you hearing me? Yes. There's somebody here tonight, I'm not talking about, that could be someone who's watching live stream as well. But you're putting too much pressure on yourself. And yeah, sometimes I feel pressure, but when I start feeling pressure to do things, I realize the way that I dispel that is I've got to get my cares cast over on the Lord. Okay? And we do that daily. We have to get our cares cast over on the Lord about, you know, feeling like you don't know enough or you don't have enough or something. You know, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough skill or whatever. Or I don't have enough patience with this child or whatever it is. But, you know, you do have all the patience that you need. You realize that.
Yes.
You do. Yeah, you do have it. You might, your flesh doesn't feel it. That's the thing. The problem is you're depending on yourself instead of depending on the Lord. And grace really has to do with trusting in God. And I'm just telling you before I can get into my message tonight that there's somebody who's putting too much pressure on yourself. You're depending on yourself too much. And if you'll just yield to Him and lean into Him and trust Him, then wisdom will come. And it's real easy to know when this is happening because the Bible talks about, in fact, every book in the Bible except, I think, one, it says grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Have you ever seen that to go together? Why do you think that is? Real simple. It's not rocket science. Grace and peace go together. Like Pastor Bob and Joy, like Phil and Susan, like Greg and Janice, like David and Janet, like, you know, like peas and carrots. Okay, what else does it mean? Whenever you've left peace, you've left grace. All right? Now somebody needs that. Okay, when you've left peace, you've left grace. That's not something to get condemned about. It's just a barometer to let you know, okay, you're putting too much pressure on yourself, or possibly putting, and if you end up putting pressure on yourself, you'll end up putting pressure on others. And that is not a place that you can finish your race. Okay, you can't do that from a place of pressure. And you got to cast your cares over on the Lord, get back into God's peace by trusting in Him, leaning into Him, and you're going to see God's grace kick in, and you'll be able to do what you didn't think you could do. And then you won't be messing up everybody in the meantime, getting everybody all frustrated and upset. Amen? All right, somebody needs to hear that. Just take it, as Dan said earlier, sometimes repentance is just those little minor adjustments that happen on the inside of us, and we say, "Yes, Lord, I'm gonna." I've got to say it again. So somebody's got to hear it. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to somebody else. Okay, you're depending on yourself too much. You're leaning on yourself too much. You're taking on pressure, and sometimes other people are putting it on you. And you're taking it. And Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is what? Heavy? Full of pressure? My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Okay, if you're yielding to a heavy burden right now, let me tell you, it's not Jesus. I'm speaking to someone tonight. You're going to have to get in agreement with me if I'm going to go on. Okay? You just yield, surrender. Say, Lord, I'm going to cast my cares over on you and trust in you. Amen? Let's just do that. Father, we just love you tonight. Show us, Father, show us our hearts the way you see us. And if our hearts are filled with worry and anxiety and pressure and those things, you didn't intend that for us. We consciously cast our cares over on you and enter into your peace with trust. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. I want to tell you a funny before we get into our message tonight. Is that okay? This is called The Good Salesman. Boudreaux, the smoothest talking Cajun in Louisiana National Guard, got called up to active duty, and Boudreaux's first assignment was in a military induction center. And because he was a good talker, they assigned him the duty of advising new recruits about government benefits, especially the GI insurance to which they were entitled. And the officer in charge noticed Boudreaux was getting a 99% sign-up rate for the more expensive supplemental form of GI insurance. And this was remarkable because it cost these low-income recruits $30 a month for the higher coverage compared to what the government was already providing at no charge. So the officer decided he'd sit in a back room at the next briefing and observe Boudreaux's sales pitch. So Boudreaux stood up before the latest group of inductees and he said, if you has the normal GI insurance and you goes to Afghanistan and get yourself killed, the government pays your beneficiary $20,000. And if you takes out the supplemental insurance, which only costs $30 a month, and then the government got to pay your beneficiary $200,000. Now, Boudreaux concluded, which bunch you think they're going to send to Afghanistan first? Yes, sir. He's a good salesman. Okay, you know, tonight what's in my heart is I want to talk to you about a key principle of leadership in my life, what God's helped me to be involved in leadership for a lot of years. And I didn't have a dad. I had a dad, but not a dad that was around. My dad wasn't blessed like Dan, but my parents were divorced when I was 8 years old, and my dad didn't come around much, and he didn't get saved till toward the end of his life. And so I didn't know anything about anything. And when I was a kid, I was praying, God, give me wisdom how to live. I don't even know how to live. I mean, I didn't know how to make decisions. I just had this passion for leadership. I want to lead people the right way. I want to be a good leader. And so what I want to talk to you about is just the importance of the Holy Spirit in leadership. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So an essential fundamental principle regarding leadership is the only things that you're certain to reproduce is what you model. Okay, so you can teach about a principle that you don't have down in your heart yet, or you don't have revelation on even, or maybe you haven't put into work in your life much, but the only thing that you can be certain to reproduce is what you model. Are you hearing me? And there's more caught than taught. And I shared with you my upbringing, and I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a lot of good leaders in my life, and I had this passion to know how to lead. And I went to a great Bible college that taught me a lot, but they taught me very little on leadership. And so I began to become an avid learner about leadership. And I realized that my leadership deficiency quotient was pretty high, and I needed to. How am I going to lead people? Okay? I mean, sure, I know I get in the Bible and see how Jesus did it, but I began to read some of John Maxwell's books about leadership. I went to some Bill Hybel seminars. I read some of William Clinton's leadership material, Andy Stanley's books. I went to Gerald Brooks' leadership roundtables. I went to four of Jack Hayford's School of Pastoral Nurture. One of the things I learned from Jack Hayford, he said, if you'd like to know what the key to my success is, he said, basically, it's two things. He said, I stay childlike with God and teachable with men. I stay childlike with God and teachable with men. Everybody say, childlike with God, teachable with men. Guys, if you will adopt that in your life, that is a powerful leadership principle. And I just became, you know, passionate about, you know, I want to be a leader that other people would follow. You know, I wanted to live my life in such a way that a preacher doesn't have to lie at my funeral. I've done lots of funerals, David, and you know, you're getting people to share with you about this person's life, and I'm preaching this one funeral, and this guy was, he might have been saved, I don't know, but anyway, he didn't live a great life, and so I'm sharing these things, you know, that his family give me. I didn't know him that well, and I'm look a couple of guys on the third row, and they're looking at one another. Is he talking about the same guy that we? Who's he talking about? Who's in that casket? That's not the guy I know. And you know, I don't want. I didn't lie about him. I just told what people were saying. You know. But I want to live my life in such a way that people would want to follow me as I follow Jesus. I don't want to be a shooting star. I want to finish well. Yeah, and you know, there's only 30% of Bible characters that finished well, and it's about that way in contemporary leadership too. The people that start off strong, but they don't end up well. And I wanted to end up well. And I mean, I learned there's a lot of good principles about leadership. There's principles of honor and humility and servanthood and hearing and following God and courage and character and the fear of the Lord and all these things. But after all these years of study and training in leadership, the most important thing that I've learned is, you know, I have the knowledge to be a good leader, and I'm not discounting all the leadership principles that you can learn, and I'm not even advocating or trying to convince you that I think I know everything about leadership, because I don't. Okay, I mean, we all are ignorant just on different subjects, and we're all limited. But after, you know, I'll still go to learn leadership principles. But after all of that, no matter all of the things that I know, okay, and about leadership, and I know a lot about leadership today. The most important thing is to know this. I have the knowledge now to be a good leader. But without a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I can't be an effective leader. And I want to get that across to you tonight. It's like, okay, I know a lot. I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm not trying to impress you. I mean, I've learned a lot. I mean, in 40 years of ministry, you learn some things. Okay, I mean, I've learned a lot about what to avoid. I mean, part of my success is learning what not to do. I've yelled at radio preachers before. They couldn't hear me, but I yelled at them. You know, don't take things out of context. It's a valid principle you're teaching. You took something out of context to try to prove something new. Don't do that. You know, I mean, I've learned, you know, I'm not going to pull rabbits out of hats to raise money. I'm not going to manipulate people. I'm not going to prostitute the Lord's bride and sell the Lord's bride out, the church out for, you know, some latest and greatest Ponzi scheme. So I've learned a lot, and I do know some things about leadership. But the most important thing I can tell you about leadership is if I don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I don't know which principle of leadership to apply. I can't be an effective leader without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in today's church world, it's so seeker sensitive that you can't even see the Holy Spirit in some churches. That's my new book is just all about that. Publisher of Destiny Image, he saw me on Marilyn Hickey, and he wanted to redo my healing book, and I didn't like the way he was wanting to redo it. I started telling my passion. I said, right now my passion is about to see the book of Acts in the church today. You can't even see. I mean, as a denominational person that was hungry for the move of God and supernatural, I didn't see it. And then once I found it, man, I mean, we've been passionate about that. And now you can go to 15 churches, so-called spirit-filled churches, and you would never see the manifestation of the gifts at all. And it's like, man, you know, or you have a, you know, you have the you have the just a free-for-all. You know, you just people doing whatever they want, running through the auditorium with flags and banners and knocking into one another. Are you hearing me? And, you know, just doing things on their own, and there's no order in the place. And it's my passion is to see the book of Acts again, but it be done in biblical order. The reason why we don't see the move of God today is because we have dominating pathetic people instead of prophetic people. Dominating prophetic, pathetic people that have chosen to value their own personal liberty above love, what's best for the body, and wimp pastors who are afraid to deal with the dominators. And then, you know, I'm getting myself in trouble if I start going. But I mean, you know, with the shofar brothers coming in at will and blowing their, you know, or whatever, they're bringing their instruments in. If you have an instrument, you get with Tony and try out. Maybe you just need to blow your shofar at home and blow your trumpet somewhere else, you know. But it's like, yeah, blow your trumpet in Zion, right? But not this part of Zion. I mean, you know, we've got to have order for the move of God. And anyway, that's what my new book is about. We need to move in the Spirit again. But not moving away from the Word of God. And so you can look at it. You can see it. It's flowing in the supernatural. You can see, you look at it on Amazon. It's pre-ordered. Or later you can go on my website, gregmoore.com, and it'll be on there. And it's coming out in January. But the bottom line is what I'm talking about tonight really ties into the purpose of that book. If you're going to be an effective leader, you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Ghost. Now, we have Him. I get that. We have Him, but are we depending on Him? He's constantly present to us, but are we present to Him? Yeah? In John 14, let's look at a couple of verses. John 14, 26 and 27. John 14, 26 and 27, and then we'll look at John 16. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Everybody say he'll teach us all things. And he'll bring to remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now look at John 16:13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, has he come? Yes. He will guide you into all truth, for he'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he'll take of mine and declare it unto you. So the bottom line, the Holy Spirit's going to teach us all things. He's going to teach us things that we don't know that we need to know, and it'll also take of the truth that we do know and show you what principle to apply right at this time. There's a lot of things we know, but with the wisdom of God, knowledge is just the accumulation of truth and facts. Okay, understanding is the right arrangement of truth and facts, where you put them in the right file. Wisdom it knows what file to go to at the right time. Does that make sense? I mean, it's a lot more than that, but that helps me. I get knowledge, okay, we get knowledge, but then understanding helps you to put the knowledge in the right file, and wisdom shows you which file to apply at the right time, because there's different application of truth, and if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're going to mess up as leaders. You can hear something and just take it with your flesh, and you're going to make a mistake. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be effective, successful kingdom leaders. And he'll teach us things we didn't learn in Bible college or university when we were getting our business degree, or that Dr. Dobson didn't write about in one of his books about parenting skills. I remember one time with my children. I have four children. We have 11 grandchildren, and now we've got a few more through marriage. And so anyway, it's hard to count now, but one of my children was very strong-willed, and another one was very compliant. Okay, in fact, my second son said he just watched Brian and did the opposite. I mean, he said that's how I learned how to get by. But anyway, Michael had done something; he had violated something that I asked him, told him not to do, and so he came in, and I was about to apply the rod of correction on the seat of instruction. Okay, I mean, he was leaning over the bed, and I was about to spank him, and as I went back, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "It's your fault." I got my hand like this, and I said, "Wait a minute!" And I just went through, and Michael's grimacing there, waiting for the, waiting for the hammer to come down, and I thought through. This David, and I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. I told him not to do this. He crossed the line. He knew the consequences, and anyway. So okay, I know I'm justified. So I go back and I hear the Holy Spirit say, this time louder, "I said it's your fault." I said, "Michael, let's chill out. Wait right there, son." That was the worst punishment, right? And anyway, but I had to go in and pray about this. Again, following the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God told me. I said, "All right, Lord, what's the deal? You're going to have to help me out here," because he knew he wasn't supposed to do this. He did this. And I told him this was the consequences. And he said he'd rather get negative attention than no attention at all. Man. And the Lord showed me. I hadn't been spending time with him. And my lack of attention to him caused him to, it was my fault. Can you see? Can you agree? It was my fault. But Dr. Dobson didn't teach me that. The Holy Spirit taught me that. And of course, I went into Michael and we hugged up and he just cried and wept. And then the Lord taught Janice and I just said, "You know what? I've got four children. Every Friday night, I'm going to take each of them, one of them, So once a month, it's their time. And then the Spirit of God told me, during that time, if they're going to talk to you, you cannot instruct them or correct them. Now, if they ask you something, you can tell them something. But this is a time for dad to be cool. And I watched so many chick flicks with my daughter that I never would have watched. I mean, we bonded and we got close, and the Lord showed me how to have a relationship with my children. And He said, I want you to be available to them 24/7. And so 12:30 at night, how many of you know teenagers don't talk when you want on your time? 12:30 at night, they'll come and knock on the door, and they want to talk, and you got to be available 24/7. I'm just telling you, guys. I learned I didn't have a good model, but the Holy Spirit showed me how to be a good dad. And I had a relationship. He taught me things that Dr. Dobson never showed me. And I learned things from Dr. Dobson. But I learned more from the Holy Spirit. Janice and I made a decision. He taught us this. He said, you never allow your children to be ashamed of your children. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. And we mess up. And if we're going to be represent Him, my children they can't shame me. I would have time for them. They had a special number they could call before we had cell phones, and they could call and they could interrupt any meeting if they needed to talk to me. And they're not going to have to compete with the ministry of the church. I learned these things. The Holy Spirit teaching me, guys. Are you hearing me? So many of these things. I learned, there when dealing with people in the church. How many of you know they're not all, they don't all act like saints? They are, but they're not. I had one lady one time, she didn't get along with the other children on the playground real well. You know what I mean by that? She was drama everywhere. I mean, causing problems, judgmental and all kinds of things. And we were going to have to correct her. And so I got with my assistant. We called her in. We were going to have to deal with her because, it was like five or six people. She was, judgmental, just, and we had to get with her. And so I told my assistant what we're going to do and called her in. She's sitting there, I heard the Holy Spirit tell her how much you appreciate her and start encouraging her. And I started doing that, and my assistant looked like this. And all of a sudden, she just burst with tears and said, I've been so bad. I've been treating people rudely. And I've been sitting out here like I was waiting to go into the principal's office when I was in middle school. And in here, you're telling me how much you appreciate me. I repent, Pastor. I'm not gonna say those things. I'm talking about following the Holy Spirit, guys, in leadership. Are you hearing me? Okay, so two of my children made some mistakes and went to jail, okay, and called me from jail. I'm just telling you, I'm a pastor, and I had two of my sons call me from jail. So one of them, we'd have problems. We'd have some challenges with him, and he decided one night, he was just going to try to, he thought he could beat a policeman. He was speeding, and the light came on, and he thought he could. And he found out he couldn't. And so he calls me. And he said, Dad, and it was about 1 in the morning, 1:30. Dad, I'm in jail. I said, what are you in jail for? He said, well, I was speeding. I said, well, they're not going to throw you in jail for speeding. He said, well, it was more than that. He wasn't listening. He's not an auditory learner. He had to learn by And the Holy Spirit said, tell him you'll see him in the morning. I said, I'll see you in the morning, son. Are you hearing me? And he learned. Okay, some people have to learn by consequences. And parents, sometimes you have to let them have the... But see, I had to listen to the whole, what do you want me to do, Spirit of God? I mean, normally you go get them, right? But he hadn't learned because... and it was going to be end up being worse. And so I had to decide, I'm going to listen and trust the Holy Spirit. And I think you agreed with me then, didn't you, honey? I think so. I believe we're in agreement. I can't remember that instance. It's good if you're in agreement with your spouse. But then that taught him a lesson. And he was a lot more careful after that and not quite so rebellious. And anyway, and then I had another one of my sons called me, and he had gotten a ticket in some little small Texas town, and he lost the ticket. And he forgot what the name of the town was, so he actually, you know, and so he thought he was off. And then he got, he was driving down the highway one day, and he ran into some nails or something. And anyway, he had two flat tires or something. And so a policeman pulled over to help him, and then he checked him out, and he found out he had this ticket. And so Michael calls me from 2 a.m. or 1:30 in the morning, and just like my oldest son, and he said, you know, Dad, I'm in jail. And I said, what happened? He said, well, I forgot about this ticket. And so the Holy Spirit said, go pick him up, and take him to Denny's, and don't say a word about what he did. And he'll tell you to this day how important that was to him. That I took him to Denny's and I didn't even say anything about the mistake he'd made. Now, you know, it seems like, you know, I was showing favor to one over the other, but you know, you listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll show you when you need to show tough love and when you need to show mercy. Are you hearing me? And each child's different. It depends on their heart. And I'm just telling you guys, in leadership, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we've got over 700 students at Karis Bible College, and man, they can come up with stories, can I tell you? They're not all mature like most church folks are. Well, there's one or two church folks it's not. You know, but that's how I direct the Bible college. I get together with my staff and said, listen, what we want to do is we want to err on the side of mercy, but mercy and truth go together. And it depends on if showing mercy to somebody causes the other students to be at risk or in danger, you can't give mercy to one that's going to hurt a whole bunch. And so you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? And show me what to do. Show me who needs to... The only way I know how to lead, the only way I knew how to pastor, the only way I know how to be a good husband to my wife and a parent to my children and to lead is to do it supernaturally. How is that? Spirit of God, you're going to have to teach me. Show me how to do this. I lean into you. And then he gives, I mean, if you lean into him and it's not about what's best for you, wisdom and love go together. And if you want wisdom, you wait and seek God about what love will do and lean into the Holy Spirit. And he'll make you look good. And I listen to him. And what, God, what are you saying? I pray. And show me what to do, what to say. Don't just answer that email when somebody ticks you off and sends you an email and you know, you want to give them a piece of your mind. Wait, sleep on it, pray over it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Show it to somebody else that's not going to talk about it that can help you. Are you hearing me? Guys, how many of you want to walk in wisdom and leadership? Okay, I'm telling you, we need the Holy Ghost. Now, we have Him, but are we dependent on Him? Or is it one day flesh and another day Holy Spirit and one another day flesh, another day Holy Spirit? You are not a leader people can trust. We have... Listen, in leadership, we don't have the privilege to make provision for our flesh. Well, we're only human. No, you are more than human. You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You don't have a right to bite somebody's head off when they bite yours. You have the right to zip it and be still and go pray and seek God. It's what Jesus did when John the Baptist was beheaded. He went apart to pray so he could get his emotions under control, so he knew how to respond. And he came out of that place of prayer in Matthew 14, and he went out and with compassion and healed the sick. Where the devil took one out, Jesus took multitudes out of the enemy's kingdom. And we do it by leadership by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way I know how to lead. It's the only way I know is I'm going to wait and I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray and I'm going to wait and I'm going to wait and I'm going to pray until. And some people get frustrated because I've got to wait until I hear from God. Are you hearing me? We've got to do this, guys. And it doesn't mean, listen, this doesn't mean that I use the God card to excuse myself from being accountable to other leaders, nor does it mean that I get weird and flaky and move away from the Word. How many of you know the Spirit and the Word agree? But I run the leadings and impressions that I have from the Spirit through the screen of the Word of God, and the safety net of spiritual men that I've made myself accountable to. But then the other side of the coin is, you know, in leadership today, there's so many spiritual think tanks. You know, I mean, I like consensus and I like to talk and get other people's ideas, especially when it impacts other people. But some of it just turns into you know, fleshly think tanks like the Mars Hill in Acts 17, where just people are just all the time coming up with new ideas and new things. And man, I want to listen to what the Spirit of God's saying and listen to what He's saying in other people. But I'm not going to get into this, you know, New Age kind of think tank thing. Are you hearing me? Look, guys, don't be deceived into thinking that your leadership training, your seminar, your books, your degree is all you need for success. Don't think that you know just because you've been through, you know, all this leadership stuff. Because look, I'm telling you, I've been through it. I've got the medals and I've got the stuff, and I'm not telling you I've been through all of it. I've been through a lot of it, and I'm telling you, at the end of the day, I cannot be an effective kingdom leader without a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a good husband, a good wife, a good parent, a good pastor, a good associate pastor, a good business person without praying. I pray over my staff. I pray over the students. Show me, Holy Spirit, show me who needs to be touched, who needs to be reached out to. And He'll show you, guys. He will absolutely show you. I don't know anybody who models this better than Pastor Bob Nichols. I mean, people he's in relationship with, I mean, he prays, listens to the Holy Spirit. He'll call you at the most, you know, weird times or times that you just, and he'll, how are you doing? I just had you on my heart. And, you know, I practice that. I follow that. So God brings somebody before my face, I pray for them and pick up the phone and call them. That's what I'm talking about, pastoring and leading supernaturally. And how, you know, it's not just about what they can do for me. It's you know, and then Pastor Bob always ends up with, you know, what can I do for you? And I want to live like that. When I grow up, I want to be like that. See, this is how Jesus led, guys. He was filled with the Spirit, and He lived a life yielded to and in partnership with the Spirit. It's how He knew He must needs go to Samaria. how he knew, you know, to ask the woman at the well. You know, he did not preach and teach one of his, you know, seminars with the woman at the well. He asked her the right question. And it's how you know what to do. It's how he knew what to respond to the condemning Pharisees with the woman caught in adultery. It's how he knew what to tell the servants to do at the wedding when they ran out of wine. It's how he knew what to tell the lepers to do. It's how did Jesus do, know? Did you ever wonder, where did you get all this wisdom? It's because he was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He knew the Word, and he depended on the Spirit. And the Spirit would show him what part of the Word to apply. And I'm telling you, guys, that it's not rocket science. What I'm telling you right now, this is the key to success in leadership. Yeah, I'm not exempting or telling you it substitutes for you getting knowledge, okay? But when you get knowledge, don't leave the Holy Spirit out. That's why I'm concerned today. I would say I'm fearful today for what's going on in the church with all this seeker-sensitive movement, because there's no modeling of listening to the Holy Spirit corporately. And then it's leading us into a place of, you know, we got our systems down, everything's, I mean, you can predict exactly what's going to happen. I mean, it's no different than in a denominational church. And God brought us out of that, guys, and filled us with the Holy Ghost. And now we have Him. But now we're dependent on a system. And I'm not against systems. I'm for systems. We need more good systems, but not to the exclusion of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? In Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in Acts 4:31, it says they were filled again. They were filled again. We need constant fillings of the Holy Spirit because we leak. Not from our spirit, but from our soul, we leak. And in Ephesians 5:17 through 18, we're commanded to be being filled with the Spirit. Let me just read that verse. And I want to pray for you tonight, okay? But I want to get you two or three more verses. But Ephesians 5, is this okay tonight? Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How many of you want to know what the will of the Lord is? Okay. Well, don't be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You want to know what the will of God is? Stay filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. And be being filled with the Spirit includes praying in other tongues, but it also includes verse 19 through 21. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always instead of murmuring always for all things to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another. So submission is the will of God. All of these things, guys, is part of being filled with the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit, giving thanks and everything. Are you hearing me? And guys, we've got to have today, if we're going to be good leaders, we've got to be people who are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And I just want to look at a couple more verses, and I want to pray for some folks. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts 6. And Acts 6 gives us a real balance, as I see it, the real balance of what the church needs today. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And so, you know, there was a challenge because of the church growth, and the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. Now notice what kind of men that they choose that they wanted for to take care of this business. People full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom that we may have. And you're not, and full of the Holy Spirit is what opens a door for the wisdom that we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And anyway, then in verse 7, the word of God spread. Okay. Now, this passage highlights the balance between the priority of good systems and the ministry of the word and prayer. You cannot build a successful church on systems alone. I teach on church systems, and I value church systems. But you've got, so they had to have people running the systems to care for the people, but then the ministry of the word of God feeds the people, causes spiritual growth among the people, and it keeps the leaders filled with wisdom, and prayer keeps us in tune with the Holy Spirit and helps us to receive instruction and direction and correction of whatever it is on God's heart. You can't have just systems. And that's where the churches have gone today. We've gone to fog machines and skinny jeans. And people somehow think that God attaches his power to fog machines and skinny jeans. And I'm not against fog machines or skinny jeans. It's not on me, please, okay? Or holes in the jeans and tattoos, and you got to wear a certain kind of dress. And I mean, you wear your baseball cap backwards and Converse tennis shoes and a jacket and a long shirt, maybe show a little bit of chest hair and holes in the jeans. And I mean, it's crazy, okay? But I don't really care. I don't really care what the people on the stage are wearing. I'm not a huge fan of always wearing a tie either. Blessed be the tie that binds. I mean, there's no, God doesn't attach his power to wearing a certain kind of tie or suit either. Okay, but the thing is people have relegated, or substituted rather, the move of God and the anointing of God to fog machines and light shows and skinny jeans. And I'm not against those things except where people use that as a substitute for the anointing and a substitute for the power of God. What's the word I want? It's not good. Okay? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And we need to pray for these churches. Okay? To return to the book of Acts, where there is the word of God and there is prayer and there is the move of the Spirit and there is good systems and the word of God spreads. But not where we substitute. We're afraid to even make mention of the Holy Spirit or even teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because we're afraid it's going to run people off. And yet the word of God says that tongues in 1 Corinthians 14:22 are for a sign for those that don't believe. And in the next verse says, but if everybody speaks in tongues out loud all at once, they're going to think you're mad. So what is he saying? It's tongues done in order. And we don't need to be afraid about the supernatural if it's done in order. If you have to pastor the move of God. Are you hearing me? 1 Corinthians 2, and we're landing right now, okay? 1 Corinthians 2. I'm just telling you guys, we've got to return to our first love, Jesus, and dependence upon the Holy Spirit, or we're not, you can be full of head knowledge and you can have all these facts and all this truth and you don't have a clue which part of it to apply, and you're useless in the kingdom. It takes the Holy Spirit, it takes a relationship with the Holy Spirit to know what part of the Bible, which principle of the word to apply. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But, everybody say but. He's not leaving us without revelation here, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It's going to take the Spirit of God, guys, for us to know the things that he wants us to do. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us from God. And in one more verse, Galatians chapter 5. This is really powerful, Galatians 5 and verse 18. Galatians 5 and verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You know how to stay out of legalism and how to stay into grace. You depend on the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit. There are things the Holy Spirit wants to show us, guys, about things we've been praying about, things that we have an inheritance from God. We've got wonderful things that he's given and he's prepared for us. The things that we need, everything we need, the Holy Spirit is going to show us if we'll pray in the Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit. Look, following the Holy Spirit is how I know who to hire, how I know who to fire, how I know timing on various initiatives, when to show mercy, when to show tough love, when to step out and act, when to wait, what people to connect with, which child or grandchild needs my attention, which church member to reach out to. You can't do grace ministry without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you guys that smart, educated people that try to get you to lean to your understanding can get you in trouble? And I've known some really smart, educated people that aren't dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling, look, this is all I know. But it's caused me to be successful. Whatever success I have is I pray and I listen to the Holy Spirit and show me how to love my wife. Show me, Lord, about my priorities. Show me about my children. Show me about ministry. And you know, would you make me a blessing today? And guys, he will. The Holy Spirit absolutely will. But if we're just off doing our own thing, you know, you get in a seminar and you know you put that fact in. Yeah, I've heard that, know that now. I got that down. Yeah, I've got it figured out. I don't have it all figured out, but I have a relationship with him, and I've got enough knowledge that he can pull from that helps and blesses people, and I listen to God. Help me to be a blessing. I'm listening to you constantly. While I'm listening to people, while I'm here today, I'm just making myself present to him. And whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say. Amen. What is your name right here? The polka dot or the black dress? What?